Genesis chapter 1. The Lord Jesus Christ revealed the heart, the subject of all Scripture to two men on the road to Emmaus. The Lord said, beginning at Moses and in all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. The Lord Jesus Christ to two men blessed of God to actually hear the gospel preached from the mouth of the Savior himself. Heard the things found within the Scriptures that set forth his sufferings. As God's Lamb, they heard him expound of his glory as the Redeemer and the Savior of his people. They heard Christ preach. You know, I searched these Scriptures, and I've told you before, I know the subject. But here's the bottom line. I know in part. I prophesy in part. And I see through a glass darkly. But not him. He who is the light himself expounded these Scriptures perfectly. In absolute glory. Now I want us to look at the first two verses of Genesis chapter 1. And as we look at these precious two verses, let's ask the Lord right now. Ask the Lord. Lord, would you give me understanding? Would you open my understanding like you did to those two on the road to Emmaus? Lord, would you cause our heart to burn as theirs? The Scripture sets forth, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning of time, there was no beginning as eternity. How can eternity have a beginning? That's just like John chapter 1, verse 1, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The Scripture says, John 1, verses 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now here you have to realize, we all realize, it's got to be the beginning of time because, again, there is no beginning of that which is eternal. Listen to Hebrews 1, verses 10 to 12. I'll read this for you. Hebrews chapter 1, <clears throat> 10 to 12. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. So when we say in the beginning, God created, there was a beginning of time. Time wasn't always. There was always the Lord. In the beginning of time, the Scripture sets forth that God, that is Jehovah, in the glorious declaration of his triunity, God, when we see God, when you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit created in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the declaration of the fullness of the Godhead bodily creating the heaven and the earth, created the universe as we know it, the atmosphere and the galaxies and the earth. Now there's going to be, I'll just give you a little hint, there's going to be another creation spoken of here, and it's going to be actually in verse 8, if you want to just look at it, and continuing the creation, and God called the firmament. See that heaven? See how that's written as a capital H? Now look at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven. See that lowercase h? Heaven and the earth. Verse 8, God created the capital H, heaven. Like I said, before there was God. There was God. And everything that was created for the glory of God and for the eternal good of God's people, God created it. God made it. Now, we won't get into that right now. We'll look at that. But here, the Lord says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The heaven and the earth. The earth as we know it. The atmosphere as we know it. That starry heaven as we know it. There's a third heaven, though, isn't it? And so here, by the word of his power, Job said, 26:7, he stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth on nothing. Nothing. He just spoke it into existence. And just exactly the way that the earth was created, the tilt, the atmosphere, just it was perfect. He spoke it all, the seasons, the position, everything associated with its continuance out of nothing, totally by the word of his power. Like I said, before he spoke it into existence, it wasn't. But when God spoke, it was. Nothing came into existence by itself or by chance. God created it. It doesn't matter that what men say. We didn't come from green slime. There weren't Neanderthals. Adam was created intelligent. He was created upright. Adam fellowshiped with God. That's how God made man. And when the scriptures declare in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, you know what God's people do? They believe it. They believe that. I believe just exactly what God says, Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed, arranged, and put in order. That's what that word frame means. By the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I've told you before, you know, men can take something that's already there. You can take a board and you can cut it up and make a box. But you can't create the board. You might make something out of it. God made it out of nothing. God just spoke it into existence and there it was. But not only do we behold in the creation of heaven and earth the speaking into existence of all things in these two verses, well, really the first five, but the second service will be verses 3-5. But in these verses of Scripture, we're going to behold the glorious gospel of redemption preached by God himself in this creation. We are talking about the creation. There's no doubt about it. But here we're going to behold the message of salvation of his people from their sins. So I invite you to get a chance Lord willing, Linda will have these on sermon audio, and you can listen to the second service and see how these two messages go together. So as the earth was created by God, man was created from the dust of the ground, and the breath of life was breathed into man's nostrils, and man became a living soul. That's what Genesis 2:7 says. Placed in a garden made of God named Eden, and was commissioned to dress the garden and keep it. That's what, look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Look at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. That's what man was placed to do. He placed him in a garden to keep it, to dress it. And man walked with God in communion and worship, fellowship, and man was created straight. Ecclesiastes 7:29 says, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright." He made him upright. What does that mean? It means he made him right, morally good. But man did something that was forbidden. Man did eat of a tree that was forbidden of God, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord told him, in the day you eat of it, and I said it wasn't that God was telling it, if you do, God says, in the day you do it, you're going to die. And man did die. He died spiritually. And because of sin, he began to die naturally. And so here man set forth as being ruined by sin. In that light, the scripture sets forth in verse 2. And here again, it's the proclamation of what man has done in the fall, what God has done in redemption and regeneration, salvation. But the scripture says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, it is very important to make sure that whenever we're studying the scriptures, that we don't assume anything, that we don't assume that we understand. It's always right to read, but look up what you're reading so you understand. The scripture sets forth in verse 2, and here again is the proclamation in type, shadow, and picture of what happened to man in the fall. And the earth was. Now, that earth, that word was, here's what it means. It means to be, to become, to come to pass, to exist, to happen, or to fall out. So the earth was without form. What does that mean? It was without form. It means did lie in waste, deserted, desolation, a worthless thing, confusion, nothing. And the earth was without form and void, meaning empty, undistinguishable ruin, and darkness, misery, destruction, death, ignorance, and sorrow was upon the face of the deep. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth came to pass, existed, without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, spiritually speaking, the darkness is what God saves his people from. Hold your place. Turn to Isaiah 42, 5 to 7. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, 5 to 7. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out of the out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. What Almighty God is saying, I'm going to take you out of something that you've fallen into. Something has happened. Look, according to Isaiah, if you want to look at this, Isaiah 45, just turn over a couple of pages there. Isaiah 45, this is this creation of the earth. Now, just or you look at Isaiah 45, 18, and when the scripture says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was. Somebody said, well, I believe what the, you know, what happened was God created this, and I read some accounts where it says God created it as just a mass of stuff. It was just mass. And then the Lord pulled it all together, and then that's the way he made it. Isaiah 45 in verse 18, the scripture declares, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens. God himself that formed, that is, that fashioned the earth and made it. He hath established it. What does that mean? Laid upon a foundation and made firm. Now, I want you to look at these next verses, next words. He created it not in vain. He created it not in vain. What does that mean? To lie in waste, formless, or confusion. He formed it to be inhabited. That is, to dwell, to abide, or continue. I am the Lord, and there is none else. So, setting forth scripture against scripture and proving things and searching these scriptures, how did God make the earth? How did he create it? He created it not in vain, but he set forth and formed it to be inhabited. So according to the word of the Lord through Isaiah, when the scripture declares, and the earth was without form and void, the scripture sets forth that the earth became or existed according to the definition of those words. Look them up and we'll find out. It became a waste place, a worthless and indistinguishable void of corruption and confusion and emptiness, pure chaos. Back in Genesis 1, and it says, and the darkness, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's the latter part of, middle part of verse 2. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, the abyss. That is the grave. Oh, the depth of man's fall. The bottomless pit of his depravity. This thought was surely brought back to Jeremiah. Turn over to Jeremiah 4. Jeremiah, you know, the weeping prophet. Jeremiah chapter 4. As the Lord sent him to preach to Israel, and he saw what was going on. Jeremiah 4, verses 19 to 23. My bowels, my heart. I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled, my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They've not known me. They are sottish children. They have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. And I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void in the heavens, and they had no light. Is verse 2 back in Genesis 1, is that not setting forth what happened to man in the garden? What happened? That no greater picture, no greater shadow, no greater type can be given to describe the state of fallen man who became something that he was not originally created to be. He was created upright, straight, and something happened. I don't want to speculate on what happened between verses 1 and 2. I don't know. Was it the fall of Satan? Was it the casting out of Satan? Cast him down to the... I don't know. I would assume that might be it, but I don't know. That's what I think probably happened, but I don't know. But I can tell you what this is the way it is. Darkness now was found, confusion was found, ruin was found, waste was found where it was not originally. Darkness. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Darkness now, without form now, void now. Man was created first to know, to love, to fellowship with God, and now man, because of his rebellion, is in the darkness of sin, a mass of waste, fit only for destruction. That's what he deserves. That's what we all deserve. Void of life, safety, and hope in himself. Oh, but according to the indescribable wisdom and grace of Almighty God, the Lord, in his glory, revealed to Moses that which he was eternally pleased to do for a people of his choosing. Did the fall take God by surprise? The Lamb, remember, was slain from before the foundation of the earth. The Messiah, before he was made flesh, was. Proverbs 8, we look at it all the time. I was ever before his face. Before the mountains were formed, I was with him, brought up with him. What is God pleased to do? That's what he told Moses. This is my glory. I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I'll show mercy on whom I'll show mercy. And I want to, as I begin to wind this up, I want to read something in the latter part of that second verse that is most precious word of comfort. I mean, if I know that man was created upright, and in the garden he rebelled against God and he fell, is there any hope for me in these two verses? Yes, there is. Latter part of the second verse, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That word move there is brooded, hovered. That's what it means. And like the wind that blows, when the Lord was telling Nicodemus, Nicodemus said, you know, we know that you're a prophet come from God. No man can do the things you do. God's not with him. And he told Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Born from above. Born of God. You got, Lord's going to have to do something for his people that they can't do for themselves. He's going to have to remake them. He's going to have to make a new man. He's going to have to make a new creation, created in righteousness. Like that wind, the scripture says, that blows. It's like the wind that blows. We hear the sound thereof. We can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So is the Spirit. When he comes in regenerating power and grace. And here we're made to behold the source of all life. The breath of God. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord moved upon the depth of darkness. Now here's where we are. Here's God's sheep. I mean, all men are born this way. But God's got a people. In this mass of humanity, he's got a people. And this is how he's going to save them. This is going to how he's going to... He's going to call them. He's going to bring them to himself. How is he going to do it? He's going to do it by his Spirit. Listen to Psalm 33:6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He speaks. And it is. So here we're told that in the midst of the original creation. God created the heaven and earth. We're told in the midst of this earth being corrupted, without form, void, total darkness, the Holy Spirit moved or brooded upon the face of the waters. Now you just imagine every one of us in ourselves. We are that earth without form. We are that earth that's void and darkness upon the face. We are that. That is us. Oh, but in the time of love, whenever it pleased God, the Spirit moved and brooded over the vessels of God's mercy. And the beauty of that word right there, when you look at that word and it says, and God moved, that word has so much meaning. It means, the first definition of it is soft. S-O-F-T, soft. In softness and tenderness of love. He comes to the ones that he is everlastingly loved in Christ and broods. That's what it means. It broods. It's like an eagle that broods over her young, like a mother with her child. A helpless child. A mama is going to, she's going to do over. She's going to take care of that child. A mother that knows how to take care of children. Dads do the best they can. I mean, serious. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny. I mean it. Dads do the best they can. But they don't know. There's something about a mother that knows how to take care of a child. If the child's restless, she knows how to take them and put them on the other arm, how to jostle them, how to put them on their knee. They nurse them. They know how to take care of the children. And here, the Spirit of God moved. He brooded upon the waters. Those restless, dark, deep waters of hopelessness. And the setting forth of the tenderness of God that has watched over his elect with long suffering and compassion and that tenderness. How long did God watch over his people? He's always watched over them. From the time that his people were born dead in trespasses and sins. How long did he watch over them? He's never not watched over them. He's always brooded over them. I think about that and I think, but for the mercy and grace of God, where in the world would I have been? Where in the world would I have been if God would have left me to myself? Well, I hope Marvin makes it, you know, until I call him. How long did he gently guide me? When I did not know him, when I was a rebel, a child of wrath, even as others, against him, and still, oh, the long-suffering of God. I'm so impatient. 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Aren't you glad? You that know him, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God wouldn't leave you alone and let you go by your own way and let you do what you want to do? But gently, when you want to go this way, come on, we're going this way. He guides you, just directs you. And in time, when it pleased him, you know. I know man was created upright. I read that. I know that he had the breath of life breathed into him, but oh, when he fell from his state of innocence and disobeyed God, when he fell and was separated from God by sin, walking in the darkness of unbelief, dead in trespasses and confusion and sin, but God had a people that he loved. And they were in themselves without hope, but they were never without hope. Last verse of Scripture, turn to Ephesians 2. Here's the hope of every child of promise, every one of God's elect, every one that the Lord's been pleased to show mercy. Here's their confession of faith. Here it is right here. Ephesians 2, 1 to 7. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God. Oh, two words that just strikes joy in the heart of God's people. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And by the grace of God, for some of us, it was so. I pray the Lord bless this to our hearts for his honor and glory and for our eternal good and comfort.